Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, Metroplex. It is the rainy hump day edition.
Hump day!
Or the humid hump day edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, trying to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. I'm Sean Sharif alongside Ralph James Choppy. We got Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, and Peyton Phillip Russell is firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. We got a Dallas Stars recap. We have a Jason Aldean ticket giveaway. It's a Meat Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman at 8:20 and Andre Whitworth to talk Cowboys and Super Bowl in the final hour of the show.
Andrew Whitworth.
What'd I say? Andre?
Andre.
My bad.
You were thinking Andre Wadsworth.
Yeah.
Yes. The big miss from Broadus.
I knew you. That's what you were going to reference. He loves referencing that. Peyton?
That was the same draft, but it was, he had Wadsworth one. Can't do that.
The Dallas Cowboys are making hires, and Mike McCarthy is taking his hat out of the ring. Steven, air quotes. Let's get to the hires first at 877-881-1053. The worst kept secret around. Matt Eberflus is the new defensive coordinator. Chop, you've been doing some homework.
That makes fine sense to me with Matt Eberflus.
Let me stop you right there.
All right.
Before you get into the pros and everything. I'm gonna have to be talked into feeling excited about it just because of the disastrous end in Chicago. It's hard for me to get that taste out of my mouth.
That to me is easy to overcome because he's not gonna be the head coach. So, it doesn't. I don't think the two even like remotely.
Shows judgment.
Judgment. He's gonna be the head coach of the defense.
Fine. Cool. But he doesn't have to worry about clock management. That's the head coach's job.
Yep.
You have to worry about calling the time. That's the head, to me, they're not even, you can't even compare the two. So when it comes to Eberflus, now there may be some personnel changes you're going to have to make.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that, from that standpoint, would be a transition.
What are the scheme/personnel changes?
It's very Rod Marinelli-like. So, you're going to talk about there's going to be a lot of cover two. There's going to be a lot of four-man rushes. The three technique defensive tackle is almost a bigger part of the defense than the edge rushers.
Mazi.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of defensive line rotation. It's not an exact replica of what Marinelli did. There are things that are Eberflus's own, but it's going to look remarkably similar to what that was. There's not going to be a lot of disguising pre-snap. It's going to be kind of what it was.
So if you go back and look, he was DC and Indy for 4 years. They ranked 9th, 17th, 9th, 13th in expected points added per play. It's not bad. They were top
15.
Yeah, top 13 in for 3 of the 4 years, top 17 and 1. So that's good. This year, 11 of the 15 teams that were in the top 15 on EPA on defense made the playoffs. Okay, so they would have been good enough to make the playoffs in 3 of the 4 years that they were there in Indy with the defense. The three that weren't Tampa, Washington, the Rams, 17th, and the other two were in the 20th. The Cowboys can make the playoffs if they do it at that level, at the level that he did it as the DC in Indianapolis. Now, the difference, like Bobby was talking about, this year in Chicago, they played cover three 45% of the time.
And cover three, Bobby, is what?
Cover three is going to be the two outside safeties and the one at the top.
Only Tampa ran cover three at a higher percentage of their snaps. That's it. Only one team. Chicago played man defense in any form, just 17% of their snaps. In any form of man. No playoff team this year played a lower percentage of their snaps in man coverage. Not a single one. That was with Chicago this year. So, there's some good things to take away, some bad things, or some personnel change that you're going to have to make. Because when he got here, it was Rob Ryan, and that was a 3-4. It was when he first came over here. Which Micah actually may be better suited for that anyway, if they wanted to go back to that. But when Parcells switched to a 3, I never saw more fans so pissed off that their beloved Cowboys were going from a 4-3 to a 3-4. The Tom Landry defense was no more. Hmm. And then Bill Parcells comes in here with this hoodoo voodoo stuff that's going to be, what are these 3 down linemen? They didn't understand what that was. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's going to be a different defense than the one you ran last year with Zimmer. Like, I mean, this isn't just like we're carrying over a lot of the same things. This will be different. It'll be different than some of the stuff Dan Quinn did. And so,
So the thought of cover 3, though, is for what? Just to keep everything in front of you? What is the premise?
So basically, the entire thought process behind what Matt Eberflus wants to do in general, his entire philosophy, is that he just kind of wants to, it's the Marinelli bend but don't break. Like, keep things in front of you, tackle well, you know, you're going to get home with 4. There's not a lot of blitzing. So Mike Zimmer would use 4 a lot of times, but he would use sim pressures and creepers, which are basically, you know, you're bringing 4, but one of the defensive linemen maybe drops back, and so then a linebacker. So you do different things that create blitzes even with 4 guys. No, with Eberflus, it's the 4 that you got there. It's defensive tackles, get upfield, try to get to the quarterback as quick as you can, keep things in front of you, tackle well, you know, playing with some cushion. There's not a lot of press in what he does. It's going to be very zone heavy. It's going to be very conservative for the most part, and it's going to lean on, hey, we need fundamentals. So you need to tackle well, you need to do your job, you need to, you know, be on top of your keys. That's going to be the big thing with this.
So he's being praised for his time in Indianapolis. He was the linebackers coach here. The immediate impact in Indy, they were ranked 30th in scoring. In 2018, he finished 10th, 11th in total defense. Passing defense improved from 28th to 16th. Over the next 3 seasons, they would finish number 16 in total defense twice, and they climbed up to 8th in total D in 2020. Routinely had them in the top half of the league in total defense. Of course, Chicago head coach 14-32 before being fired 12 games into this past season. Mike Zimmer had told Athlon Sports, "The truth is, I've always wanted to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys for 25 years. That's all I know. And right now, NFL teams are not exactly beating down my door." So that is a final parting word from Mike Zimmer. Matt Eberflus is your new defensive coordinator. Nick Sorensen is your new special teams coordinator. He had worked in a defensive capacity over the past few years. Back in 2021, when he was the Jacksonville special teams coordinator, they did finish 31st in special teams DVOA. So Sorensen and Eberflus have been added.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of people leaning on the Jaguars special teams is awful that year. The Jaguars were awful that year. That was the Urban Meyer year. They had a lot of issues that, I'm not saying he's going to be a great special teams guy, but it was also first time he had ever been a coordinator. A lot of other things going on in Jacksonville that were clearly a mess that, to me, I'm willing to say, all right, we'll give it a look. We'll see if it's any better. I don't know that I'm just going to hold him to that, but this is something where he's right now, I think what you're seeing is when people are like, well, is he going to be able to hire his own staff? Eberflus maybe doesn't come off that way totally. But I think you're seeing with some of these interviews and some of these guys that they're connected to right now, there's not an obvious, oh, we know that guy. There's either Schottenheimer knows him or nobody's got experience with him and he's just getting recommended. The Clayton Adams one from Arizona or some of these other ones like in Atlanta, those are not super familiar guys to them.
And I've been told, obviously interviewing a lot of OC candidates, they're not close on a decision yet. I just got that text at about 5 o'clock this morning.
Well,
yes. Yeah. So it's not big enough for me to tweet. You know, I'm like Jay Glazer. You know, I just come out for the big stories, but I just pass along on this little radio airwaves.
Leave the crumbs. Here you go. Here you go, peasants.
You know, my other thing about Eberflus, and I get what you're saying about clock management, and I agree. I can't forget the Commanders game, and I can't forget him in the press conferences sounding so completely clueless and lost. And if there's anything I've learned about, you know, covering the Joneses here, I got to think about all the other decisions that you're messing up and screwing up if you show us publicly how you think about some things. If Jerry and Steven are going to sit up there the other day and do some of the things they did, what the hell else are they doing that we don't see? And Eberflus, he came across pretty clueless in these press conferences, even though there are a lot of people giving him his respect.
Yes.
His game management of not giving up the 10 or 15 yards before the Hail Mary, sticking to it with his stubbornness in the post-game presser, not admitting. It's more personality things with Eberflus. I don't know him whatsoever. I would like to find out more and more, but personality-wise, I was like, dude, you can't even sit up there afterwards and admit that you screwed up? That bothers me.
So Archer had tweeted yesterday, he said, Matt Eberflus' time as Chicago's head coach did not end well, but he was an excellent DC in Indianapolis, was a top-notch assistant with the Cowboys under Rob Ryan, and then Monty Kiffin, Rod Marinelli for 7 years. It's the fifth straight year the Cowboys have a former head coach as DC. I think that's it. His reputation here was sterling. People thought he was a fantastic coach. Like, I mean, there's a reason him becoming a head coach in Chicago didn't surprise the Cowboys. Like, they thought that's going to be a head coach one day. They thought he was really, really good. The bigger issue is when we're talking about
what type of personality?
Kind of a hard ass. I haven't had a ton of personal interactions with him because he left in 17. That's early on when I had been here, but I know that was his reputation, was as a hard ass. But
you were still blogging.
He's somebody that he was.
You can't make that insult today nowadays with the new media.
They are the media.
Heading into the White House.
In the front row asking questions about drones and stuff. No, when you look at
Biden's fault,
the thing with Eberflus to me is the stuff that ended in Chicago that was concerning was, I'm not getting out of my mind so far the story of Jalen Johnson after that Detroit game, yelling at him so intensely in the locker room that he had to leave. Like, he left the play. He's in the middle of ranting at them. They're all upset. And Eberflus had to leave the room.
Yeah.
That, to me, it's like, all right, well, that's, I hope you learned from that.
Yeah.
And we've got something better coming out of this, because that right there, that's concerning. Especially if the big focus here is culture, culture, culture. That's going to be the new focus.
877-881-1053 is the way to hit us up on DFW Sports Station with the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. We got the Dallas Stars in action. Let's see what they were up to on ESPN+.
We go back the other way. Johnston got it across. Empty net. Ryan Johnston caps it off for Dallas. It's a hat trick goal in overtime. Stars, they get the come from behind victory.
The hat trick, the natural hat trick, and the game winner as they rally for the 4-3 win against the Golden Knights in Vegas. Site of the place that you and Bobby watched the game for 2 minutes.
Well, I watched a game. I watched a game. Bobby left after one period. His mic is up. I would assume the money puck would have had this in a high Vegas win. Oh, wow. No. Look at that. Unbelievable. Stars. Wow. Look at that. Yeah, this is the first time they had a win this year where they had trailed after two periods. So, you know, good on them. This is a good win. Vegas is a really, really good team. This is one of the teams they're going to compete for in the West to get to the Cup Finals.
The headline, though, is Miro had to be helped off the ice in the third period after his knee buckled when Mark Stone lunged into him. Stars fans were not happy on social media, likely to get the update tomorrow since they have a scheduled day off.
Spits and suds.
So all the best for Heiskanen. Stars fans not happy. Spits and suds with the latest injury news wherever you get your podcast. Yes, Roberto.
Do I get a real? Okay. I have a real comment. That Wyatt Johnston goal in overtime was nasty, though. That was nice. I liked that. I enjoyed that. That's all I had to say. 53%, right, by the way, for the Stars.
You see, you can't leave well enough alone. We're really going to test your discipline with the Mike McCarthy update that came out late last night. A new test for Bobby Belt on the morning show. Is it still McCarthy versus Kellen again? An update on that. And did the ratings go down once again for the NFL playoffs? The McCarthy update. Is it back to the barn for Big Mike? Next on Sean and RJ. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club here on DFW Sports Station. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy and Bobby Belt. We want you to win our Jason Aldean ticket giveaway during the commercial-free expressway starting at 7:20. Late last night, the news came out that Mike McCarthy will not be coaching this upcoming football season. McCarthy did not garner the interest. Well, I'll start from Tom Pelissero, and then we'll get to the opinions from others. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network. McCarthy has decided to focus on the 2026 hiring cycle and will not coach in the NFL this season. McCarthy is expected to be a strong candidate a year from now. Then Jordan Schultz, friend of the station,
Not the show.
He comes on when I'm not here. He chimes in and said McCarthy did not garner the interest from the Saints that he anticipated, and it's starting to seem like Kellen Moore is the leader in the clubhouse in New Orleans, and this final line is really sobering and cold. McCarthy backs out before being shut out. So no coaching.
Pretty dramatic there, Nick.
No coaching for Mike McCarthy this year and maybe ever again.
Maybe ever again, because, I mean, you're now he's older again. Like, he's going to be another, he'll be, what, 63 at the time of the next hire, 62 at the time of the next hiring cycle.
And he played the updated analytics card before the Cowboys.
He already played that one. So I don't know what, he can't play that card now. So, yeah, I mean, it might be. I mean, seriously, you have to think of your mic. It's like, and you had to be cool with that when you told Jerry to, you know, kick rocks.
You had to be cool with it or in touch with it. I hope Mike was getting, this is a great sports debate, and I was taking polls within the station. Will McCarthy get another job? Brian Broaddus, yes. Others, yes. Bobby Belt, no. He will not get hired again if he was available, and I was leaning towards no as well, and that's why I was like, make sure before you pull your big walkout move. We've all thought about doing this at work. Before you tell them, go shove it and get that great feeling of satisfaction in the moment, make sure you walk out the door to something else and you have the bird in hand. Right now, it does not appear that Mike McCarthy does.
Yeah, I mean, this makes the last two Cowboys head coaches were guys nobody else wanted to hire, allegedly, is what they're going to say. But this is, this is exactly what we were going to get. He had... Chicago looks like it was Ben Johnson all along, so any sort of interest there was fake. So literally his only shot was New Orleans, it seemed like. And so that whole process has been such a mess in terms of the
Saints.
Yeah, the Saints.
What's going on process. Over there?
I don't know, because like Cliff pulled his name out too. Like Cliff did. Now, you know what I mean?
It seemed like Cliff was even farther a possibility than Mike.
Yeah, I think Cliff's was similar, where it's like you're about to get shut out.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I'm taking my name out.
Yeah.
You're about to get shut out.
Yeah, that happens. That happens. But yeah, it has been a mess. Like, what if they don't give the job to Kellen? It's like what is going on?
They'll
down
go
there?
Find their David Culley hire if they can't give it to Kellen.
But what is the setup there that would cause it to be a mess? Explain that, because I thought, you know, Sean Payton always praised Mickey Loomis, the general manager. I don't know the components of the owner with Gail Benson.
So
I know Jane covers them.
Report, I don't know if this is a reputation. This is the first I'd heard of it was this week when you started hearing some of the reports trickling out. It was just the discussion of, did people want Mickey Loomis as involved in the decisions? Like, they wanted it's not a Trent Baalke situation, but is it like they wanted a more streamlined approach to be able to have some say and some control? And right now, it doesn't sound like the Saints are willing to give that up. They want Mickey Loomis to be part of the process. So,
because Josina Anderson yesterday, when we were at the end of our show, she seemed to be suggesting that McCarthy was asking for certain things,
right,
and they were having disagreement over it.
Right. And if you're Mike, you know, you got your, this is regardless of whether he gets another job, it's going to be his last one because of age. Even if he gets another job, he's not going to get a fourth job now. And you've got to have, you're going to want your fingerprints all over it. It's your last chance. And, look, if I was a young coach, if I was Cliff, if you're Cliff, you got one chance left, really, right? You don't get a third job. But if you're Cliff, you got one chance left. You want to go there? They got no cap and they got no quarterback.
No cap. They're in the worst cap situation in the NFL right now. And so tight money. You've got a roster that doesn't look great right now. And a lot of different circumstances facing them. I guess I'm not surprised, but I wondered if he did get shut out in the cycle, if he'd be willing to say,
Mike?
Yeah. If he'd be willing to say, let me go take a coordinator job for a year. Let me go find one of these coordinator jobs. I can still call plays. I can still, because he was very adamant at the end of the season about, I'm good at this. Like, I'm going to call plays. Like, I know what I can do with that. So I thought he might just say, I'm going to do things exactly my way, call plays the way I want to, have an offense look the way I want to, and that'll be my resume builder for a year. But it doesn't sound like he's wanting to do that.
Any possibility you think he would entertain media for a year?
This show?
No, no.
Co-hosting?
Not this show.
I mean, if he's taking a year off, he might as well just stay. He's got his kids in school around here, so he could come right. Do pre and post. He could take Broadus' spot and do pre and post with Bolchuk and Chiafalo.
On television, could you see Mike doing it? Would he get snatched up by a network in a year just because he's the former Cowboy coach?
I don't know that he would. I don't know that he has like the. I mean, he's got the person. He's good on. He's good. I mean,
more personality than Rick Carlisle.
You know what I would listen to? I would listen to a Mike McCarthy podcast. If Mike McCarthy took the Chuck Pagano role on Pat McAfee's show, now that Pagano's going to the NFL again,
Baltimore,
he would. I bet I'm
those two would yinzer it up.
I bet McCarthy would crush it as that little like extra chair role there, because analyst, studio, or game bet doesn't strike me as McCarthy.
Why do you think he'd crush it in that role?
Because I think it just allows him to show off some of his personality and the ball busting he likes to do. And I think people would find him really likable there.
Do you think Mike McCarthy will ever be a head coach again, RJ Choppy?
If he doesn't get it in this cycle, I don't think so.
Well, he's not.
Yeah, obviously. It's just now you're another year off and you're getting up there in age. I thought, you know, Chicago was the one. It looked like he was there. Ben Johnson miss, right? If Ben decided to go to Vegas, I think Chicago hires him. The New Orleans thing, you know, I don't really know what the hell they're doing down there. You know, I really don't. And like, it seems like they want a Kellen again. I don't have no idea if Kellen's going to take that job. I would assume not. Now,
how do you think the league would view McCarthy as? Would they view him as like that's somebody we need to give 5 years to build a team, or do you think they would view him as like if we're close, maybe we should bring in McCarthy?
I don't know. I asked that question a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't come up with a great answer. He didn't finish here. Mm-mm. He didn't come. Someone said the other day that the Dallas Cowboys have had 4 playoff wins in the last 28 years, and that smacked me across the face. 4 in 28.
They had Eagles 2009.
Mm-hmm.
They had Detroit in 2014. They had Seattle in 18 and then Tampa.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to figure out. What is McCarthy's specialty? Is he a builder? Is he a developer? Is he a finisher?
Well,
was he better off for...
I think he's more of a builder, man. Like...
I mean, he didn't have to build much here. He came into a good situation.
But in Green Bay, you know, that he got there at the end of Favre.
Yeah.
And then
he was there for the start
they had
Rogers.
Like 2 bad years of the early Rodgers, and they took off.
Yeah.
So I think he's good for a young quarterback. I mean, I would think he was good for a young quarterback.
Okay.
I'm going to call my shot now. If he gets a job, there's only one place he will get a job. If he gets a job next cycle, 2026, he will be coaching the Buffalo Bills.
Why?
Because if Sean McDermott, who has been teetering for a while, if they go into another year and there's a problem and he gets fired, I could totally see them going,
God, he is a Buffalo guy.
That's exactly. I could see them going, Buffalo guy. He's somebody who can come in here, connect with Josh Allen. He can put us over the top. This is the exact setup where he had success in Green Bay, like this community type football team. I could see Buffalo being a team that would snatch him up.
Let me just for the fun of it throw out possible job openings next year. Miami could be. Mike does not seem like a
Miami dude. He's not a Miami guy.
That'd be awesome. Just seeing him dressed in Lou Piniella.
Lou Piniella.
What are those clothes that Lou wore? Tommy Bahama. I can see McCarthy walking around South Beach in his Tommy Bahama gear.
Peyton, who's Lou Piniella?
Cubs manager.
Did he manage the Cubs?
I don't know, but you know, the fact that he knew was a manager, he gets that.
He didn't know Johnny Oates was a manager, so
who knows about Tomlin? Right?
Oh, he would love Pittsburgh.
Mike's
love
sitting that. Back waiting for that Pittsburgh possibility. Zach Taylor. Cincinnati, Cleveland, Stefanski. I'm going to just put Mike in the AFC North. Just don't. He's an AFC North guy. That's really what he is. Indianapolis, with whatever happens with Steichen. Tennessee, maybe they run Callahan early.
Nobody in the AFC West.
Giants, for Daboll.
he could. I don't think he could handle New York.
I don't either. And then I really don't feel like going through the rest of these. All right, so Mike McCarthy, I think it's over for him. I agreed with Bobby. He would not get hired again. I think this is it. Bills, Chiefs, the most. It'd be awesome if he called Gavin Spittle and said, I will come work for the station, but only if you fire Bobby. But I'm going to take Bobby's spot with the morning show. What would Spittle do? In a cocaine heartbeat.
Yeah, I'd get fired.
Yeah, Mike calls to get Bobby's job. Yep. That would be the ultimate revenge.
Yeah, and I'm
I'll see you soon.
I'm gonna negotiate this. I'm gonna broker this deal.
I'm not. He would absolutely request that if he was gonna join. He'd be like, get him out of here.
Don Chop.
Yeah.
All right. Bills Chiefs, the most watched AFC Championship game on record. And top conference title game since 2010. Most watched matchup of Mahomes and Allen. 13.5 million more viewers than the NFC Championship game. That is a 31% increase. That's the biggest gap, Choppy, between the title games in 29 years. Six NFC playoff games were down compared to 3 of 6 AFC games. So the AFC Championship game trounced the NFC title game.
Well, look, you had no Dallas, no San Fran, no New York Giants. I mean, you had some big-time markets.
Well, Philly and D.C.'s big-time markets.
But D.C. proved they don't have a fan base. They don't have a fan base. I mean, they did 44 million watch that game, if that, right? It's like that's a crazy number. Crazy low number for that title game. Chicago. So your four biggest cities.
Chicago's never in it though.
No, but the four biggest markets were not in the playoffs. Well, yeah, outside of LA.
And I mean, Green Bay is a big national fan base. They got bounced early.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but DC and Philly, you should feel good about market wise.
Yeah.
Now the game got out of control. Washington came back, and then it got out of control, and second half was a waste.
Yeah, and the NFL has shown that it doesn't, you know, market size doesn't necessarily matter. I will say this is, I mean, I found this fascinating, but that Chiefs.
Spittle just texted, said he'd pick me over McCarthy. He said that we would wish Coach McCarthy well, but we'll keep him Mr. Bell. Well,
Spittle just pulled a McCarthy by Mike saying, I'm taking my, you know, I'm bowing out.
Yes.
Spittle knows
he's not going to ask to come on.
He's not going to ask to come on. So that was a smart play. That was a McCarthy play from Spittle right there.
There you go.
Very good.
But the Chiefs' total viewership was more than the total audience of all 5 games of the Rangers D-backs World Series combined.
It's like telling my wife I wouldn't leave her for Sofia Vergara.
That's right. Yeah. You got no point.
You think McCarthy's Sofia Vergara?
That's not the point.
And then it's also more.
That's what Spittle did was the analogy. Just shut up.
More than all 5 games of Mavs Celtics combined. That's where football is. Those single Chiefs game.
Say that again.
The single Chiefs Bills game.
Yeah.
Had more viewers than if you took all 5 games of Mavs Celtics NBA Finals and combined them. And it had more than if you took all 5 games of Rangers Diamondbacks and combined them.
Speaking of the Rangers, we now have all your different ways to watch. Is it going to be $100 for the season? Where do you stream? How do you pirate it? All the different options we'll tell you about on the home of the Rangers. And RJ said this is a disgrace for maybe your kid's favorite sports video game. That's next on 105.3 The Fan. What does Troy Aikman think of the new Dallas Cowboys coach? We'll get to it at 7 o'clock. A Jason Aldean ticket giveaway to set up an awesome date night for you at 7:20 in the commercial-free expressway. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby on DFW Sports Station. We are also your official home for Texas Rangers baseball, and we have our official ways to consume it.
Well, we got the newly formed Rangers Sports Media and Entertainment Company. That will include the Rangers Sports Network. It's an RSN, right? It's literally RSN. And that will be, you know, the official way to go watch these games. And you will be able to have these games on Spectrum, DirecTV, DirecTV Stream,
hey-o,
and AT&T UVerse.
Okay.
And, of course, you can stream on, like, the Victory Plus app, which that's the one that's going to be $100, and the rest of these, and the cable one, obviously will go be baked into your cable bill whatever the cost is. It may not be an upcharge at all, because if you already had Bally, you might just kind of already get what this one is.
So YouTube TV is...
You can get it on
Victory Plus.
Yeah, I've got Victory Plus. So, yeah.
But you had to pay for it.
Yes, yeah, no, which is what I'll probably end up doing.
And they're also going to have select games on the CW. So channel 33.
Well, I don't have the CW, so
where Liv used to live.
Oh,
the Liv Golf. Now yeah. Liv Golf is going to Fox.
Chase Williams doing play by play.
Right, Chase. Good. Wow, it's good. Good callback. So there you go. You'll be able to watch the Rangers this year without having to pay the $100 if you have one of those four. Now, again, I don't know how they're going to divvy it up in terms of if it's going to affect your bill if you have Spectrum or DirecTV or UVerse or DirecTV Stream, but you'll be able to watch it on there, which is a big time win.
I'll take it. DirecTV Stream. I tried to cheat. I tried to peek. I tried to flirt, and they end up. It only took a half a Maverick season, but I'm back to where I've been for about 15 years here, just relying on that for all my local games.
That's it.
There you go.
Very simple. Easy. I don't think the other worst is having to change apps, because once you change apps, you're stuck. When you go to the app, you're stuck. It's too long. It's like a 10-second lag to get back to the guide. A nightmare.
Pepe, you good? You settled?
All good.
You good to go?
All good. Got the Mavs, now Rangers, so we're all good to go.
And of course, as Corey Majors will tell you, 105.3 The Fan, you don't have to worry about finding 17 different channels to watch it every single game with the Hall of Famer, Eric Nadell. You got triggered yesterday by a video game?
I did. I got very triggered yesterday. MLB The Show is a fantastic game. I mean, kids love playing this game. The big ones, obviously, your 2K, Madden, college football, FIFA. FIFA's huge. And then the show. And you know, you set up a season. I think the show, for being able to set up a season, is the best one. But I know that people like the FIFA game as well. But normally, it's around this time where they come out with the cover athlete for this year's game. And the game will be released, you know, right around the 1st of April. That's when the game usually comes out. Actually, they're saying it's March 18th, which is the pre-sale. And then you get the first week to get the regular game. Well, I was triggered here because I saw, all right, you know what? You got a really good choice here. And in the past, you've had Shohei and Betts and Judge and Harper and Vlad Jr. who've been on the cover. You had Griffey on it in like 2017. And this year, they had a great chance, right? Paul Skeens, obvious choice. Elly De La Cruz, obvious choice. Gunnar Henderson, obvious choice. Bobby Witt Jr., obvious choice, right? The obvious choice is all around for the
Witt and Skeens is screaming cover to me.
Screaming. Now, Witt's not a part of it, but Paul Skeens is in the most Gen Z 2025 cover of all time. They didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so they're going to put Skeens and Elly and Gunnar all on the cover. It's a three-person cover.
You know what's really stupid about that?
Soft.
You burn your...
Yes!
You burn your options
you
for
next
year.
You burn your next 3 years.
You burn them.
I mean, I guess it's better than, like, you know, 2 years from now.
And do it before Skeens' basket predicts blows his arm out.
Right.
Or Livy Dunn dumps him. And didn't some kid get the Skeens card?
Yeah, some kid got the Skeens card. It was a kid out in, I think, L.A. or something.
Los Angeles, yep. Los Angeles got another star.
And
they win everything.
His parents bought like the whole box set. He ripped the card. And so he pulls the card, and then the Pirates offer him 30 years of season tickets right behind home plate. And he's like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't live in Pittsburgh. I'm not a Pirates fan.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work to sell them every night.
Yes, it is.
A lot of work.
Yes.
You know, so I'm not going to do that. Even if I sold them every night and they were $250 a ticket, over 30 years, it's only $600,000. Did the math on that one, Bobby.
Good job.
So it's like,
double checking.
They might be more. They might be more than 250, but, you know, I just went to a random June game and it was $250 for the right behind home plate tickets. So wisely, he didn't take it.
And sitting next to Livy Dunn in her suite, she said.
Yes, absolutely. So he is going to send this card to auction. So 11-year-old kid sending this card to auction, and they think it's going to fetch around $1 million.
Okay. Very nice. When you were talking about the Gen Z move, I was thinking of Dylan Gabriel.
Oh, gosh. First off, I will say on the MLB The Show thing, I actually like it. Not normally I wouldn't, but to, like, hyper focus on guys 23, 23, and 22. Like, we're clearly trying to just, we need to, we've been criticized for not propping up stars. We got to prop up as many of these young stars as we can.
Bigger net.
Yeah, I don't hate it from that perspective. It looks a little goofy.
Come back to me next year when they're trying to think of someone.
There we go. Dylan Gabriel, the star quarterback for Oregon, who has also previously been the star quarterback at Oklahoma and the star quarterback at Central Florida. He's at the Senior Bowl this week participating. And when you're out there at those practices and you're doing different things, you wear your college helmet. So if somebody goes out there from the University of Texas, they're wearing a Longhorns helmet with their Senior Bowl uniform and everything else. Dylan Gabriel has made the real Gen Z move. He has a triple split helmet. On one side of his helmet, he has the OU decal. On the other side of his helmet, he has the Oregon decal. Ugh. And on the back of his helmet, he has the UCF logo. Jalen Hurts did this a couple years ago. He was the first one, I think, who did this, where he had Alabama on one side and Oklahoma on the other. And I nearly vomited at the time when he did that. This is just as bad, maybe worse, to put all three of them up there. Don't tell me, like, oh, I love all of them. You didn't love them enough to stay for more than a year.
Yeah.
So you didn't love them that much. But I like, this looks ridiculous. Here, I'm going to show you this. Look at this. This is what it looks like. It's this gray helmet with this mishmash of decal. It's so gross looking. And it's just, it's soft. I look at it as a fake, look at what a culture guy I am. Look at what, I show respect for all my roots. No, this is phony. So I hate this. I think this is awful.
Choppy.
Well, hey, what should he do?
Oregon, the team he was with.
Yeah.
See, that is, so here's an interesting thing.
Number one in the country.
Let's say you play 3 years at Texas, and then your last year you transfer to Arizona. When you get to the NFL draft, they say out of Arizona. I got a problem with that. You're not out of Arizona.
They do say out of Arizona.
I know, and I got a problem with that. You're not out. You're out of Texas.
Why?
Because you went more. You were longer there. You played longer there.
That's really stupid. I say that. So, like, I came here from where, in terms of the cities that I lived in, I came here from Kansas City, but I lived in Maryland more, so mm-hmm. I didn't come here from Maryland. It's like the last city I was in.
No, I disagree with that.
I don't consider
I came here from Knoxville.
In 2020, then, they should have said, with the first pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow, quarterback, Ohio State.
Well, he split.
But he was there for 3 years at Ohio State.
Yeah, he didn't play.
But he's redshirt and he's there.
Carson Beck should be, you think Carson he should Beck. Be out of Georgia?
Absolutely.
Not Miami.
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Really, really weird stance.
Because no one's going to think Carson Beck is a Miami guy.
He's coming out of Miami.
Yeah, like he went to, that was his final stop. But like he made it, where did you make a, it's different, where did you make a name for yourself?
That's for a Hall of Fame discussion. Like who do we associate you with? But hey, whatever helps you sleep at night. 877-881-1053. Franklin Franco injury attorney text line. Bobby, your wife testing your street cred out there on the roads, pulling some Fast and Furious.
I guess I'm just an idiot. Like, yep. I guess I don't know anything. Yeah.
Confirmation for that.
There have been a couple different times where Kristen will say something where I'm like, what? Did you grow up in like another part of the country that you use that term? And like, for instance, we had talked about this once. This is my keychain. I just had always called this like a key hook. And you called it what?
Carabiner.
A carabiner.
Everybody,
I never heard
everybody
that.
In the world knows that.
That's what Kristen calls it. Kristen knew, like, she has all these different words for things. So I thought she was doing one of these things. Again, it turns out I'm in the minority, apparently. She was explaining a story where she was driving. And she said that she got in a spot and she was like, I had to turn around and I had to. Can I say what the word is? Because I'm using it in reference to. Flip a bitch, she said.
Oh.
So she said she had to hit one of those. She had to flip a B. And I had no idea what she said. I was like, what does that mean? She's like, you know what that means. It's like, I've never heard that term in my life.
Never heard that?
Never heard it once in my life. And she said, everyone in the world knows that means U-turn. I was like, I've never heard it. And so she went to Facebook and she asked them and everybody was like, yep, that's what that means. I know what that means. And even Amanda commented on it. She said, your hood is showing. So I guess that's maybe more of a hood term. Maybe I'm just too one percenter for Kristen.
I've never heard it either. I totally agree with you.
Stop it.
Never heard it?
Never heard it?
No. Flip a B.
Did you know it when you were living in New Jersey?
Or did you get it
when you got here?
Just pull a Yui. That's what I said.
Pull a Yui, bang a Yui.
Pop a Yui.
Pop, whatever.
Yeah.
Did you had heard Flip a B while you were in Jersey or when you got to Texas?
That's a much newer term. It's a newer term in the last like 20 years, I think.
But you heard it here. See, that makes me wonder if it's just like a regional Texas thing and I just didn't hear it where I was growing up.
I don't think I don't remember saying it. I've never heard it,
and everybody else seemed to know what it was.
Well, see what the fan text says, 877-881-1053 with Flip a B, and I didn't know that's what you were asking permission for. I would have said no. Don't say it. So sorry, boss. Jason Aldean ticket giveaway is coming up during the commercial-free expressway. Michael Irvin is still not over it. And what does Troy Aikman think of Brian Schottenheimer as the new Cowboys coach? That's next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.